Good morning. If there's any visitors here, I'm Joel, the pastor here. You're very welcome. It's unusual for us to be here on a Friday. We're normally a Sunday gathering, but once a year we meet here on a Friday because this is the day in the church calendar when we think about the death of Jesus. And I'm going to read about that from the scriptures. If you want to turn to page 1060, the Bibles are on the shelf of the seat in front of you. So on page 1060, before I read, I'm going to ask for God's help. Almighty God, Christians from centuries have remembered the death of your son Jesus on this one day that's written about in the Bible. Please help us as we think about it now to have our hearts changed by the truth, for our faith to be strengthened. Please strengthen as well our connection with one another, our common fellowship and sharing in our faith in this God, Jesus. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Sorry, I didn't mean to pray that Jesus is a separate God in the Son of God, Jesus. My wording might have been a bit misleading there. Verse 32. Verse 32, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was written a notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you're under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, to help us follow this, sir, I've got a few pictures I'm going to put up on a board. So if children want to come and sit on the front row so they can see better, now's the time to come and move. Bring a Bible with you if you can read and sit on the front. I'm just going to put my board up. You don't have to, but you're welcome to come. No one's come. That's fine. On the seats around the church building, there are copies of this book. These have been bought for you to take away and read. They are very, very good. They tell three short stories. Welcome, Lucas. They tell three short stories of people who met Jesus. And the reason that these have been bought and are given to you free is that having read it, you will see what a good book it is and you will give it to a friend. Okay, the Christian Church has got the best marketing system of any organisation, not because we've got brilliant internet use or brilliant advertising, but because we've got people in schools, in hospitals, in offices, in streets, in homes. They're called believers. You are the people who can pass on the message about Jesus. So read this, and if you think it's good, pass it on to someone who you think would need to hear it or need to read it. It is very good. And I'm going to read a some of it now. So for one of these stories, it begins by talking about a man who's a pastor. He had a telephone call from a man who wanted to visit him. This man was sick, and he had to have heart surgery a week later. So the pastor went round. The house he visited was a mess. Everything was spread out, and the man was a mess. He was in his 60s, and he hadn't lived well. He'd ruined his life through using alcohol and drugs. He'd grown up as a Christian, but he'd turned away from God's ways. And he desperately wanted to know if it was possible for someone like him to be put right with God. He'd made such a mess of things. And what this pastor did, he opened his Bible, and he explained the story that I've just read to you about a man who had similar questions, a man who'd made bad choices and was experiencing the consequences. That was a man who had committed serious crime and was sentenced to die by crucifixion. I'm not talking about Jesus, I'm talking about the criminals. Two other criminals were crucified next to Jesus, and there was a third person in between them, Jesus of Nazareth. Well, let's look at the Bible, the passage I read. Luke doesn't just tell us here what happened from a distance. He could have told us in a sentence, they took Jesus, they put him on a cross, and he died. But he doesn't just tell us that. What he's got here is a lot of words that people are speaking. So what was the first quote that I read there about what someone said? The first words that someone said at that event that I read. Who said something first? Someone brave? Jesus, yes. What did Jesus say? Yeah, that's in verse 34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. So there's lots of different words. There's a speech bubble to help us think about the fact we've got lots of different words. And the first words in this section are those of Jesus. Good words, kind words. Father, forgive them. And then what are the next words that are spoken by someone who was there? Yeah, he said, which verse is that? 35. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others, let him save himself. Yeah, they were laughing at him. And then the next words, some other people say. Yeah, verse 36. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And then there's that same message is written on a board above his head, not spoken from someone's lips, but in verse 38, it's written on a board. And then what are the next things? That's the next thing someone says. Yeah, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. That's in verse 39. And who said that? Yeah, that's one of the criminals there. So we've got the leaders of the Jewish people. We've got three lots of mocking voices. We've got the good voice of Jesus. We've got the leaders of the Jewish people laughing at him, the soldiers mocking him, and then even the criminal next to him, all saying, "Let you save yourself." They all say that, save yourself. Why didn't you help yourself? But then there's one more voice. Who is the last person, or the next person to speak? The other criminal in verse 40. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. Now, at this point, he's not speaking to the Jewish leaders or to the soldiers. He's speaking to the other criminal. And he's saying to him, don't you fear God? Verse 41, we are punished justly. So us being killed like this on a cross is fair, is right for what we've done. But this man, talking about Jesus, has done nothing wrong. And then he speaks to Jesus. And what does he ask Jesus? Remember me. Yeah, remember me when you come in your kingdom. So Jesus, in this story, was put on a cross to die. If you were there, you could see his hands and that nails were hammered through his hands. They had taken all his clothes off. In most of the pictures and most of the statues, they don't show how terrible it was for Jesus. They leave some like swimming trunks on, but he had no clothes on, and nails through his hands and nails through his feet, and people were shouting at him. He had been beaten. He had been spat on. The Jewish leaders and the Romans had plotted against Jesus. They beat him. They whipped him. They laughed at him. They slapped him. They spat on him. And what Jesus' words were, "Father, forgive them." That's very remarkable, isn't it? If you are mocked, if you're ridiculed, if you're misunderstood by your boss or your friends or your loved ones, what would you do? Jesus says, forgive them. We could think, why doesn't Jesus save himself? People are right, he had saved others. If you think back some of the things he's done in Luke, a couple of weeks ago, Luke told us about a young man who died, and he was in a coffin, and Jesus went and knocked on the coffin, and the young man sat up. And people with sickness who he healed. Why didn't he save himself? He stayed on the cross, and he didn't say anything to those people who were laughing at him. There were these two other men either side of him. So he was in the middle cross. Put those mockers down there. And they were both suffering punishment for crimes. That's why they had been nailed onto their crosses, because they had done crimes. And they react to Jesus, but do they react in the same way? No, differently. That's right. The first one shouts insults in verse 39, like the others. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and save us." But the second criminal said to that one, "We're getting what we deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he says, "Remember me." Now, when that man says to Jesus, "Remember me," he's not saying, "Don't forget me," or "Think about me." He's saying, "Remember me and let me in." He's saying, "I think you are the Messiah. You are the King of the Jews. You can save us. You can give new life with God." Isn't that extraordinary? Because the person he was saying that to, he had no clothes on, and he had nails through his hands, and people were laughing at him. And the criminal said to that person, "You can help me." It's like saying to a worm, "Worm, please help me." Because that's how everyone was looking at Jesus at that time. And Jesus says something extraordinary. He says in verse 43, Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." He is the king. He can say to this man, "You can have life with me in my kingdom, in my paradise." Paradise is a word from the ancient Middle East region, the Persia region, which means the garden of the king, the garden of the royal palace. So Jesus is saying, you can be with me, not just have a house in my city, not just working in the cellar, in my kitchens, but you can be in the garden with me in the cool of the day. And the most special part, actually, of the promise is, you will be with me, is what Jesus says. He doesn't. It's not how big or beautiful or comfortable the paradise garden is, but it's the promise, you will be with me. So this criminal, when the others were mocking, he actually put his trust in Jesus. And Jesus promises him he can have a place. And that's for us to be reassured. No one is too bad. You have done wrong things in your life, like me. None of us deserve to be in the paradise with Jesus. But no one is too bad if we will ask that Jesus to let us in, to remember us. But only one of the two criminals was given that offer. The other one didn't get in. So that's to tell us we mustn't assume it's all going to be okay. There's a danger that we just think, oh, well, Jesus has sorted it. I don't need to do anything. No, we must be those who trust in Jesus. In this little book and the story that goes on, it says, imagine this man who died on the cross. You meet him in the new creation, and he's wandering around, and he's a bit surprised, and he's amazed because suddenly all that pain is finished, and he's in this beautiful, bright place. And you and I are there, and we said, how have you ended up here? This is extraordinary. And before he can talk to us, well, he says, I'm not sure. I don't know how I can be here. But an angel comes along and says, hello, you're new here. Why are you here? Do you know all the teachings of the New Testament? Have you understood those? No, didn't know there is a New Testament. Well, were you baptized? No, I'm not baptized. Never been baptized. But well, were you on the rotor at church? Did you help out? No, I never went to church. I was never on a rota. So what are you doing here? And he says, well, it's the man on the middle cross. He said I could come. And that's how we will get in. If we put our trust in that man on the middle cross, who was as disgusting as a worm that day when he was put to death, if we put our trust in him, we will be in paradise. You should read it. It's very good. And give it to someone. It's very good. In Luke's book, in this book of Luke, it's written for a man. Who is it written for? What's the name of the man it was written for? Theophilus. Well done. And he says at the beginning, I want you to know, Theophilus, that what you've heard about Jesus is true. It's the coming true of all God's plans. And we need to hear that, because believing in Jesus, trusting in someone who looks like a worm, seems stupid. All around people are telling you it's stupid to believe. We had mockers back then on that day. Today there are mockers. So the Hindus will say, how can you trust in a God who's a weak man who dies? Our gods are big and covered in gold. The Muslims will say, why do you put your trust in Jesus? We're doing good things for Allah. He will let us into paradise. You're believing a lie that Jesus died. The Quran says he didn't even die. The atheists will say, we're enjoying life now. We're finding out what our real desires are, and we're putting those into practice. You stupid Christians, you're trusting in that man. So we need that reassurance. We need Luke to tell us this story, that Jesus dying is God's plan coming true. Jesus has said this will happen. He'd said to his followers, I will be betrayed. I will be given to the leaders of the Jews. I will be given to the Romans, and they will kill me on a cross. He's promised it will happen, and it's come true because it's God's plan. We can be sure. And we can trust Jesus when he says, you will be with me in paradise. It does look very weak to follow Jesus. And it can feel very weak to follow Jesus. But this is God's plan. Jesus didn't get off the cross and save himself, because by staying on the cross, he could save others. And that's the wonderful good news that believers trust. In case you've not heard me, do take this book and read it and pray about who you might give that book to, someone else who might benefit from being encouraged by this message of Easter. There are going to be some prayers on the board now. These are the prayers for this week in the Anglican calendar. I'll pray them. If you want to join me, if you want to join me in praying them, there's four different prayers because it's a special day. We get extra prayers today. So do join me if you'd like. Or simply wait and join me with the Amen. Almighty God, in mercy look on this your family. For this people our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed. For this people he was willing to be given up into the hands of wicked men. For this people he was willing to suffer death upon the cross. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, your Spirit rules your family, the Church, and he makes us specially yours. Enable every person in your family to serve you truly and with devotion in their roles in this family. We ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Merciful God, you have made all people. You do not want sinners to die, but to be converted and live. Have mercy on people of other religions who do not know you, or who say Jesus was not crucified. Take away their ignorance and give them understanding. Please bring them into your people, the flock for which Jesus is the one shepherd. Amen. Lord Jesus, we think today of your death at the hands of your enemies. You promised that your people will also suffer. Be with all those who face violence and injustice because they follow you. May they feel your peace in prison and sing to you in solitary confinement. Be close to them, O Lord. Amen.